All right. Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Oh, that blessed my soul. Boy, we live in a darkened world today, don't we? It gets darker and darker and darker. And the Lord tells us that he was the light while he was in the world, but the light's in us today. And sadly, as you can see, the churches aren't full. I remember a time when I was a young man on Christmas service. You didn't get early. You didn't get a seat. People was in God's house. Amen. And today, the world just grows darker and darker. And not just the world itself, but even in the churches. The spirit just grows so cold. People, I don't know, you would think us being in the last days. I don't know about you, but I believe what the Bible says. And I believe my Jesus is coming, amen? And I just feel like we ought to have a spirit in our heart. We ought to have a burning in our heart to get the gospel out. And us as Christians, we should want to be in the house of God. I mean, this is the one place. This is the safe haven, amen? This is the one place that we ought to want to be. And it just saddens me that we have seats available tonight, and it shouldn't be that way. But, you know, it's up to us to get the gospel out, right? Amen. The Bible tells us that the gospel be hid, it'd be hidden unto the lost, amen? We need to get the gospel out. I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to come up here tonight. He's going to preach for us. Amen. Brother Parsons, you preach as long as you feel like you need preaching, as long as you're done with quitting time. Yeah. And you go ahead and close the service out to you, brother. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And it's good to be here tonight. It's warmer. It's warmer December than I've had in a while. And my boys, a couple summers ago, I about killed every one of them splitting wood. And then we burned it up every winter. Amen. And I haven't had to do that this winter yet. I haven't had to put any logs on the fire. And I'm glad for that. Amen. And it's good to be with you tonight. And it is that Christmas time. And so we won't go to the book of Obadiah. We'll go to the book of Luke. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 2 with us tonight. And I will say that it's been a different experience, you know, the December here than being home. I've had to say to my son as I split wood by hand, back up, son, back up, son. And I watched it as I split a piece, a chunk flew off and clocked him right in the middle of the forehead. And I mean, he was a good ways away, but I kept telling him to back up. And he learned a lesson from that. You know, when I said back up, he ran on the other side of the yard from then on. But there's lessons to be learned here. You know, he got out in the yard and started to say things. I said, son, don't mess with them ants. And he'd say, okay, you know. And then he's like, they're biting me. They're biting me, Dad. Amen. You know, there's lessons to be learned here, even in the winter as well, other than splitting wood. And so we've learned some lessons, different ones here than there. And it was cooler, some snow already up there, but boy, it's been nice. Today, there was no snow. Amen. Anybody break a sweat today? Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was good. Luke chapter 2, and I want to just talk to you tonight, a Bible study tonight, just kind of go through the chapter. This is something back in my home church where I was raised. My pastor had a tradition that he would constantly, once we made it into December, he would constantly remind his people to read through Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. And I think it's good. And he would also encourage them to do that with their children before they open their gifts. And I don't think it began with him, but it was something that was ingrained in me over the years. As a student growing up in the Christian school there, we memorized Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 20. Now, I'm not going to quote it for you tonight. I can read along with it, but I just want to give you an outline of the beginning of the chapter, and then I want to settle in near the end, and I want to show you some things about the very first Christmas. And I believe that, you know, as we, everything, you know, we believe the Bible is our final authority, and it's our authority for faith and practice in our own lives. So we ought to look, if we want to know how we ought to be at Christmas time or how Christmas should affect us, I think we can find it right in the very first Christmas. So let's pray, and then we'll begin with verse 1 in chapter 2. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, dear God. I pray for my preacher. I pray you'd be with him, help him to have a blessed time of rest, and help him to be encouraged and enjoy his family and his grandchildren. I pray tonight, dear God, that as we meet together as your church, I pray that you would help us as we look in your word, that you would help us gain something from your word tonight, something that'll help us grow, something that'll be affect us, dear God, to grow closer to you. We beg you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In the very first Christmas, I would look, if you would read with me the first verse, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, I will say this. This is Pastor kind of touched on this on Sunday, and I won't reiterate it too much, but I will say that I guess not all taxing is bad. Amen. We can, if someone asks for a good example of being taxed, you can take them back to the scripture here and show that it brought some things to pass that needed to happen. Amen. And I believe here, if you were to kind of get an outline, where we're going is with C. We're going to learn. I want to see the celebration that happened near the end of the chapter, or at least in the through 1 through 20, but in 1 through 5, I wrote down the first Christmas coming together. I hope you realize that this had been predicted for centuries, that throughout the ages that the Jews had looked for the coming Messiah, if you would. We're looking for that same one to return, amen, and take us to be with him, and then to return and set up his kingdom. And again, I don't think the taxing and all the things with government that we get upset about today, we're not going to fix it here. We're looking for Jesus to come and fix it, amen. And so we need to just pray that he'd come. Amen. I believe this today. As I rode down the road, I took my little girl with me shopping at Lowe's. I know that I would counsel you against that, but me and her went out today to Lowe's, and we walked through Lowe's, and she made me push her in one of those buggies with a steering wheel. It looks like a car. And so she wanted to climb in there. And as we rode home, it was cloudy this afternoon, and she was riding in the car, and she looked up in the sky, and she said, "Daddy, I don't think Jesus will come today. It's too cloudy for that." And I thought to myself, you know, it's Christmas time and we're so busy with thinking about gifts and whether we've checked every name that we have off our list and are we prepared? Do we got the turkey? Is everything ready? And are we looking for the return of Christ? Amen. We've already seen the birth of Christ. It's recorded here. We've seen that it was coming together in those first few verses. But I was reminded again by my little girl that Jesus is coming again. Amen. And according to her, he's not coming on a cloudy day. But other people have made other predictions, and I wouldn't take hers necessarily to be true. But it did remind me again that, hey, I ought to be looking for Jesus to come even today. Rather than worrying to death about all the little things and checking it. I'm not saying that we ought not hit every cylinder and be in our places and do everything that we're supposed to do, but Jesus is coming again, and Christmas is not going to stop him. Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing that he shocked the world? Amen. Everybody, rather than reading, and I know that we have all the different things and all the Christmas that we can have in this country. But boy, in the midst, I would say, you know, even with reading Luke 1 through 20, I can tell you as a child growing up, and even as an adult, sometimes watching and enjoying what I have purchased for my child and the blessedness of being in this land and being an American, oftentimes my mind is not on the Lord's return when those packages are being opened. Oftentimes in that moment and in that time, I'm enjoying it. And I know that we have to, but listen, I tell you, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even if it's in the middle of the packages, even if it's in that time, I want to see him come back. And even if it's a cloudy day, I'll take it. Amen. Come on. And I look in verse 6, and I want you to see this. And it, so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I see contractions. Amen. And I won't go into it too deep, but I remember my first child being born. And she's here tonight. What a blessing. And I remember being in the hospital room, and, you know, it was my first experience, you know. And my dad had a different tale to tell. He wasn't a saved man, but I was. Amen. And we were even trying. My mother-in-law had the intent of videoing the birth of my first child. And you know how it is. I have five, so my quiver is full at five, Lord willing. And as you know, the first one, you video everything. And the second one comes, and you try to video everything. And by the time the third one comes along, you just want to make sure everything, he gets fed and he eats and everybody gets in the car. You don't worry about filming every little thing and every event. And so I see here, you know, the contractions. Listen, this is the Christmas day coming into being here, and I see the contractions starting. I remember with my wife, being in the room, and I liked all kinds of gadgets and dials and things, and they had this machine hooked to my wife, and it would start to do weird things when she was about to have a contraction. And so I was glad to see my mother-in-law come back in with the camera, because I was trying to, you know, I finally started to learn what it was doing. And I was saying to my wife, I said, honey, I think you're about to have a contraction. And she kind of gave me that look and said, oh, no, you know. And I never mentioned it after that. I mean, I figured that even though I was watching the machine, she knew when they were coming. And so Jesus was on his way by this time. God has taken his son from Nazareth and gotten him into Bethlehem, where he predicted that he would be born. And Pastor did a great job of explaining that this Sunday. But I want to say as well that he, you know, here we see all these things, and I'm trying to stay in season. So by the time we hit verse 7, we see the completion of Christ coming into the world. This is a great miracle. And I know that we haven't explained the virgin birth, and we haven't gone back to chapter 1 and gone through all that. But realize this, that this is no ordinary birth. This is the completion of centuries and really thousands of years that God said that he was going to send his son into the world to be the savior of the world. And even the angels are going to say that later in this chapter. As we look in the Bible, let us never forget that this is not an ordinary birth. This is not just Jesus coming into the world. Listen, I mean, everyone that's going to hear about this coming down the road, everything that's going to happen after this, listen, it's going to change the world. This is not a normal birth. This is God's son being born, I mean, listen, wrapped in mortal flesh. This flesh that you and I are wrapped in, God let himself be wrapped in it so that he could die on the cross for you and I. That ought to make, listen, the completion of his birth is happening, and listen, it's coming into the world, but listen, it's not the completion of what he's coming here to do. This is just the beginning. This is putting a marker saying, listen, he completed the early stages. He was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and he's getting it done. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we're going to see that. Read it with me if you would. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I see this as confirmation. He says in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angel were gone away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I can only imagine being a shepherd out in the field watching these sheep, and all of a sudden, this is the area, you know, Joseph and Mary are brought back to this area because they're kin. And no doubt some type of extended family are running out from the field to come see this birth. And, you know, they could be, again, it's a different time. And the records and people have been scattered abroad from time by the time Jesus comes along. But no doubt there's an announcement there to these shepherds, and they come running. They want to see this thing, because this is something, again, that's been predicted through the ages. They knew exactly what the angels were heralding here. They weren't surprised that this was the Messiah. This is something that they had been taught from a child up, looking forward to one that was going to come in this manner, in this place. I want you to know, listen, this was a miraculous birth, but it didn't take them by surprise in the sense that God hadn't already told them it was going to happen. It took them by surprise, just like today, or if Jesus was to come back while we were unwrapping our presents. Even though we knew it was going to happen, even we knew that it had been predicted, we knew that he could come as a thief in the night, listen, boy, it would take us by, we would be startled, I would say. But I want to say to you tonight, listen, Jesus, listen, how is he celebrated? I believe that we have all kinds of different celebrations in this land, and Everybody celebrates Christmas differently. Some people like to put lights up and burn all their electricity up. Amen. And I'm not against it. I like to drive around and watch other people that do it. Amen. And look at their lights and say, man, amen. Look at that. That's pretty. And man, what is their electric bill like? Amen. And then I drive on down and look at the next person and say, man, I think they even have a higher bill than the person before. And then I like to look at those that would be more like myself. If I was to choose to do it, the ones that really don't have any rhyme or reason, they just throw the lights on things. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've seen places like that. That's how they celebrate Christmas. They just kind of, there's a bush, so it has to have lights, and they get up on a ladder and fling them out on the tree. There's no, you know, and then the person that lives directly across from me, they have like a perfect, like, lines and everything has, you know, even probably to the point of knocking, you know how people are. I don't know why my roof is leaking. I nailed all these little staples through the shingles to put my lights on diagonal lines, and now my roof is leaking. Amen. What a blessing. But hey, you know, whatever you want to do, and however, if you want to burn electricity that way, that is your business, and I will come and look at them. Please set them up. Send me your address, and I will come by, and I will gauge your lights. If there is a contest, I would be glad to be a judge. Just don't come by and judge my lights, because they're the ones that are inside where I actually need to see. Amen? And so, how do you celebrate? We celebrate differently in this country. Everyone has their traditions. I told you about a tradition we had at our own church that we read. You know, we were encouraged to read 1 through 20, and you may do that. And different people have different, some people, you know, they have different Christmas drinks. And I've heard our pastor, our recent pastor back at my home church that had taken the church, they have this weird drink that they make, and it's like fruit punch and spicy things and all in it. Nothing bad. Don't get upset. Okay, it's just, you know, it's just nothing like that. It's just one of those things. It was some kind of thing that they mix up, and why, I have no idea. But they do it at Christmas time, and it's a traditional thing that they do. So everybody celebrates differently. Every one of us have different traditions, but they celebrate it here. And I want you to see that as the shepherds have come and they've seen Jesus and they're going to leave, and there's going to be a celebration take place in their own lives. And I want to see, if I was to look and I was going to try to learn how I should celebrate Christmas, I would want to look in the scripture and see, what did the people that immediately saw Christ do? What did they do? How did it change their life? How did they celebrate his birth? How did they go about, if you would, worshiping the Lord Jesus? And I want you to start with me in verse 17. And it says here, and when they had seen it, this is the shepherds, and we skip verse 16. Let's go back and read it for we have time. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now I want you to, if you have a pen and paper and you want to write something down, I want to say number one, they celebrated Christmas by witnessing. They witnessed. Listen, it's this, you know, I think sometimes we take this time, it's Christmas break. But it's not time for us to take a break from being a Christian. It's time, it's the best time of the year for us to have the greatest opportunity of the year to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. We have a perfect opportunity. We have a time of year that is named for the Savior. And I understand it might have been named wrongly for his birth. He was born at a different time of year. We could argue all types of things, but as our country comes together, and we can say, at least in our nation here, we celebrate Christmas, and Christ's name is right there. We even push and argue, and today I was blessed by, as I left Lowe's, the lady didn't say Happy Holidays, she said Merry Christmas. And I turned back and said Merry Christmas to her. And I thanked her, and I asked her to, you know, I said, you have a great Christmas. And so as I left, I was encouraged by that, but I also thought to myself, listen, are we giving the gospel? Are we witnessing for Christ the way we ought to? Saying Merry Christmas is good, but if that's all we did, listen, I could, when I was lost, a lot of people told me Merry Christmas, but it didn't save me. It didn't change my life. What changed my life was realizing that Jesus was the Son of God, that died on the cross and paid for my sins. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what saved me. And if Herod could have killed him as a baby, then we wouldn't have a Savior today. He would have come short of the cross and everything that he had to do. Thank the Lord that it didn't end in Bethlehem. Amen. Thank God it didn't end at Calvary. Thank God it doesn't have an end. He rose again. And amen. And he lives forevermore. And I'm excited when I get to tell somebody that it did. That was just the beginning. That was just his birth. That's not the end. There's a story that goes along with that. That was his birth. It was a miraculous birth. He's the Son of God, and I get to witness to them. And it says here, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, I believe here we see they had their own personal testimony. If you were to take all these different shepherds, every one of them had a different angle of the manger. Some of them stood by Mary, and some of them stood by Joseph. Some of them stood by the donkey. So everybody had a different perspective and a different personal testimony. Some of them would have said, boy, that was beautiful swaddling clothes. Some would have said that was the stinkiest place on earth for a baby to ever be born because I was standing by the donkey. But praise the Lord, the Messiah came into the world. Listen, everyone, even for you and I, do you know what the most powerful thing to witness to people is? It's your personal testimony. Yeah. I'm getting a little worried because something fell and it wasn't snow. If you were here when I brought down the house one night, I'm getting worried. I saw something just fall from the ceiling, so pray for us. Amen. And so witnessing, I see a personal testimony. Then I see not only a personal testimony, but I see that they made known abroad the saying which was told them. So at this point, not only did they say, listen, we saw a baby in a manger. Amen. There was no room for him in the inn. And they told the whole story, but it said, but listen, the reason we found them was because angels appeared to us out in the field. And they told us that this was the promised Messiah, that this was the Savior, that this is Christ the Lord. Listen, everybody that heard it knew exactly what they were talking about. Everybody that heard it didn't get the same personal testimony that they had gotten, but they knew what was going on. And the Bible even says, listen, they had seen this witnessing. And listen, if we're going to celebrate Christ, we better do it through witnessing to people. Don't give it, you know, this brother started off talking about how empty the church is. Listen, this Sunday, we're going to have a great opportunity. You know, people go to church at Christmas and Easter. Amen. You know, but probably the least time that people are invited to church are Christmas and Easter because we're busy. We're busy with our own families and what's going on in our own lives, and we're busy with people coming in town or leaving town and all the things that go on. And man, it would be a great opportunity. Listen, people are looking for a good church to go to. People are looking for a place that they can come at Christmas time because they think that that's when they ought to go. Especially people that live in this area or from this, you know, from the southern area of the country, they know that it's right to go to church, and Christmas and Easter is when they're going to fit it into their schedule. Man, what a blessing it would be on Christmas. Listen, this next Sunday that we'd have people that were invited by our people as you go out and get different things that are your tradition from the grocery store, or as you go out and get the last few minute presents, or you find out somebody's bringing a friend and you want to have something for them too. So you go out and buy something else, and as you're out, you take a you know, one of them things. It's a track? Yeah. And it has the Landmark Baptist Church on the front of it. And you say, you know what? We have a greatest church in all of Haines City and all this Polk County. And listen, why don't you come and be with us on Christmas Day? We'd love to have you. You can sit with me and my family, and we'd love to have you come out. Listen, I want to tell you, the shepherds went through. Listen, you know what excites people? When people are excited. You know, because our mantra is, well, you wouldn't want to go to my church, would you? We're over there on the other side of Haines City. You know, you have to drive all the way through the whole town to get to it, and that light gets backed up. Man, if you come through at the wrong time of day, you'll never get there because people all the time wrecking underneath of that train bridge. And you better go around a different direction because you'll get stuck there. And I mean, you could tell them, you could discourage them before you ever get to, man, it's the greatest church in the world. We got the greatest pastor in the world. We got the greatest building in the world. We got the greatest decorations in the world. We got the greatest Savior in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come and hear about him on Sunday? Amen. Listen, I want to tell you, listen, I think if we're going to celebrate Christmas the way they did in the Bible, we ought to be like them shepherds. And they left excited when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to leave here excited tonight and tell everybody that we know, everybody that we see, anybody that comes along, the next person you see at the gas pump, hey, friend. I know you're getting petroleum products from the Middle East. Let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. He was from there. Amen. And just get with him and tell him about it. Listen, I see secondly, if you look at verse 18, all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, I defined this word, and I know you got to be worried. It was from the 1828 dictionary. It says that all they that heard it wondered. So all those that were witness to wondered. I see wonder. If we're going to celebrate the Lord's birth, I think we ought to do some. We've heard about it. We've heard about what has happened. We ought to do some wondering. And that word wonder, it's not like, wandering your mind. It's not about wondering about, I wonder if he's the Savior. You don't have to wonder. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. It's not talking about that. What it's talking about, this is the definition. It says a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration. Listen, it's caused by something beautiful, something to be desired or to be curious to know more about. Listen, I think Christmas time, sometimes we get in this, we were talking before the service. I was talking with somebody that was talking about not knowing what to do with himself, because this time of year is kind of, it gets to that point where you get a little bit of a break. It's called Christmas break for a reason. And even for my children and for others, maybe other college students, you get in this break time. Listen, it's not a time to take a break from your Bible. It's time to be able to read about Jesus. You got more time to study who he is and where he came from and what he wants you to do. And listen, this book is a rich book. Listen, there's no time like this time of year to read more and to study more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have time to do it. And listen, I know that, man, it for us, the problem is that last, it says, at something desired. I feel like as Americans, we've come to a place where we have so many things that we desire. We desire to watch our shows. We desire to buy clothes. We desire to go places. And God help it. I'm not a fan of Walmart. And I'm a man, so maybe that's the problem there. But, Walmart has everything under the sun. But listen, I'd rather somebody else go. Amen. I'm so glad now you can buy it and they'll bring it to my house. Amen. I don't even have to go to that place. Praise the Lord for the internet. Amen. If it saves me from going to Walmart, it's a good thing. Amen. But, so many times we have all these different distractions and things that take our desire from wondering about the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as I drove down the road, I was thinking about all the things that I had to do, things that I had to complete, things that I needed to get done. And my little girl from the back seat, who was wondering, said, Jesus probably ain't going to come today because it's too cloudy. I would to God that I just take those few minutes that I have out of my day when I'm just driving down the road, and I would put my mind on the Lord and say, are you going to come back today, Lord? It's a good day to come back. It's cloudy. Nobody will even see you coming. Amen. It's good for us to think about him and to wonder and to ponder. And even this word wonder is just to be curious, to know more about. And I believe that that's how at Christmas time we need to ramp that up. As Christians, we get lulled by the world. Even as Christians in a good church, a good independent fundamental church, we get our senses null and dulled by the world. It's almost like the world has given us Advil or ibuprofen or whatever it was. It was a plug. All you on the internet, I need money from Advil. And so ibuprofen, whatever you want to call it, if you can understand that, the world does that to us. That's the effect the world has us, and it dulls our desire for the Lord. It dulls our desire to get in the book and to read more. It's not because I've heard people say, I just don't like to read. That's not it. If anybody doesn't like to read, it's probably me. I can take a book, and it's more like a tranquilizer dart. Within 2 or 3 seconds of reading anything, I begin to start to go like this, and I have to keep it. And so, again, it's one of those mindsets. Listen, read what you're interested in. Go read about the battles that David fought. Amen. Listen, there's no greater book in the world written than this book. God wrote this book down for us. God gave us his mind set in print so that we can understand and know more about him. And if we're going to do that, we've got to wonder about him. We're going to have to get our desire right. And at this Christmas time, witnessing for him will increase your desire to know more about him. I promise you. When you see somebody get saved, when you see somebody say, you know what, I probably will be there Sunday, it'll reset your buttons in your heart, and you'll want to go back to the book and read more about Jesus and know more about him. Why? Because you know that I'm going to tell somebody else about him, and maybe they'll have a question that I can find in this book, and I already know it when they ask me. Not because I look so smart, but so that they can hear more about Jesus. I see this as well. It wasn't just there. Look at verse number 19. So we've seen that we celebrate by witnessing, by wondering, and at verse 19 we'll see, But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. I see by willingly pondering, that's how we celebrate the Lord coming. You say, well, it's the same thing as wonder. It's not. Listen to the definition of the same word. Weighing intelligently, considering, deliberating. To weigh in the mind, to consider and to compare the circumstances or sequences of an event or the importance of the reason for it. You tell me that you couldn't come to a place. Listen, we can wonder about God and just how great he is and how he did what he said he was going to do by coming in as a child. But listen, it's a whole other thing Mary did. She pulled all those things up. As a believer, listen, I can tell you when I was my little girl's age and I was in the car and I was saying things like that to my parents, Jesus could come back today. There's been a lot more Bible and scripture and preaching and teaching been poured into me. And it's been my job to ponder those things in my heart. To pull them up and to start to, when I get to ponder those things, I start to connect the dots. It's like having Legos everywhere. You know, when you step on them and think you're going to die, amen? If you've ever stepped on a Lego, they are crippling, amen? And so it takes 2 days to get over that. And so, but you know, when you get Legos, man, you take all these Legos and you got all these things that are wonderful things and you can really start to build and put it all together. It's a blessing when we realize we can take the birth of Christ and start taking. We see the cross and all the things that came later, and we start putting all those Legos together, and we string that thing together and see the entirety of the life of Christ, and we see that he did that for you and I. When we put all that together in our own mind because we're pondering upon Christ, listen, Christmas time is not just a time to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a time to celebrate the birth of Christ all the way to the resurrection of Christ and to realize, listen, it's finished. It's already done. The victory has been won. The birth of Christ, listen, that first Christmas, Mary was putting all these things in because it wasn't done yet. Amen. It wasn't finished on the cross yet, but listen, it's finished today. It's done. You and I can pray, kneel down, and be saved and be sealed the same moment. We don't have to be like Mary was and looking forward to anything that he was going to do. It's already done. It's already complete. I can be saved because of what he did for me. Listen, we ought to ponder just the fact that we can be saved just like that because of what Jesus did for us. We ought to, at this time of the year, if any other time of the year, by witnessing for him and willfully pondering. I want to wonder. I do want to wonder. I want to have a desire to dig deeper in the scriptures. But listen, I ought to ponder on what I've already been taught and let all of that get inside of me and get plugged together and just be able to connect the dots, if you will, of what Jesus has done for me. Listen, I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, it's been a blessing to me watching. When I preached a message here just after I left, it was maybe 2 years after I graduated, and then something I said in the message, the canes came down and walked. I talked about the meeting that I got saved in. I talked about where I got saved in Maryland, and the canes came down from the balcony and walked up to me and shook my hand, and Brother Cain said, I invited that man. I put that meeting together at that youth rally that you got saved at. That blessed my heart. Can I tell you, friend, listen, I had gotten saved, but that connected some dots for me. Somebody that I loved that was serving here, that I knew was a good brother in Christ, let me know that he had a piece. He did something to bring me to Christ. Something that he did in his life helped me come to Christ. Listen, through my life, after all, I thought I had it all straight about how I had come to Jesus, and then somebody else would say, well, you know, it was so-and-so. In my life, I just thought my grandparents drug me to church and had me in church, and they had gotten back in church. But then I heard, and I've told you all the story before, that it was because of a youth pastor that knocked my grandparents' door and won a 15-year-old boy to Christ and started taking him to church every week and coming by and getting him because his parents wouldn't take him. And he got saved and got on fire for God, and his parents said, we got to go see what's going on down there. And they came to see what was going on, and they got rededicated because they were both saved but were backslidden. And they decided they needed to witness. If their family was lost, and they, you know what? They talked to my parents and said, my parents weren't going to church. They didn't want nothing to do with it because they had seen my grandparents backslidden, but they said, if you want to take that boy to babysit him on Sunday, you're welcome to have him. And as a five-year-old boy, I was drugged to church by my grandparents. And listen, I didn't get saved then, but that was the start. That's how I got in church. And because of me being in church and dragging my parents, we had a Sunday school program, amen, on the bus route. And man, I wanted a bucket of bubble gum. I've told you over and over again. Listen, it wasn't the end. I wanted that bucket of bubble. I said, I want bubble gum, Dad. You got to come to church. And I begged and begged and begged. And finally, I got my bubble gum. And my dad had to grip the pew on Sunday morning because the preacher was preaching the gospel hot and heavy. And he was too proud to walk the aisle. But on a Thursday night, one of the deacons, amen, I'm sorry, one of the assistant pastors came by the house with a deacon, knocked my door, and he said, we come to talk to you about the Lord. And he said, come on in. I've been wondering about that all week. I'd like to know how to be saved. My dad got saved, and it changed his life. My dad had died. I'm not kidding you. My dad, he came from, he was a worker. My dad was a worker, and he turned into a Christian worker then. My dad got on fire. He come up to, you know how it is. My dad was a trash man, had his own trash business, picked up trash all through town. And as a boy, I remember riding on the back of it, probably 8 years old. They'd kill somebody if they took their kid on the back of it. I was hanging off a trash truck at eight, amen. What a blessing, amen. And I just enjoyed it. I really did. It was dangerous, but it was fun. But my dad, you know, my dad would, I remember he got saved and got plugged in church, and he went up to the preacher. You know how it is when you first get saved. You want to do something for the Lord. My dad said, listen, preacher, you don't worry about this trash. You tell them people to come get that dumpster. You won't have to pay for trash being hauled off for anymore. I'm going to take care of it. And my dad did. They threw it in. My dad took care of the trash. He hauled the trash off. You know, God's people ought to be like that. If you do something in this life, listen, God's people, God's church ought not to have to pay for it anymore. Take care of it. Amen. I loved the fact. I remember my dad. He said, you know, the preacher said, listen, we couldn't run one of these buses because it was broke down. And my dad said, I'm not the best mechanic, but when I was in the military, I worked on vehicles. And listen, I'll come out there. And I can't tell you how many nights that my dad laid under a bus and worked on a bus so that it would run on Sunday morning. I mean, he just said, I'll take care of it. My dad never thought of charging the church for working on a bus. My dad never thought about going up there and saying, he just wanted, listen, my dad knew what the Lord had done for him, and he knew that if that bus could get to some kids, he could do the same thing for them. And all he was worried about was getting that bus out on the bus route, making sure it got back. I can't tell you how many weeks the same bus that we worked on Saturday night, my dad went and got it with a chain and drug it back to the church. Amen. 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 But he was willing to do that as well. Listen, I tell you, we ought to ponder some things. It ought to change us. You know, the more you learn about Jesus, it ought not turn you off. It ought to turn you on. The more you connect the dots, it ought not to get you cold. It ought to get you hot again when you realize all that Jesus did. God help us. We live in a day and age where we don't willingly ponder all that Jesus did for us, and we get unplugged. We stay unplugged, if you would. Let's get plugged in. Let's put all those things back together and realize what Jesus did for us. You know, when you start doing that, it'll happen the same way. Listen, Mary started doing that, and then we see what the shepherds did as they ran away. Look at it with me, if you would. In verse 20, they're heading back to the field. They're heading back to the sheep, and it says the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The two words there, glorifying and praising God, if you go to the modern dictionary, they'll cross each other over. That's why I like to use the Webster's 1828 dictionary and see those different words. Because, you know, if you look into glorifying, you'll see in a newer Webster's dictionary, it'll talk about praising and opposite. But if you go to the 1828 dictionary, they'll give you this. It says, of glorifying, it said to reveal or to make clear the glory of God. It is to magnify and to honor through thought or word. Listen, I can only imagine there were some of them probably leaping and jumping for joy and saying, praise the Lord who has brought his Savior into the world. Listen, praise the Lord for Christ the Lord who's come into this world. And then there were some that were thinking about, who thought they were glorifying. You know that you can glorify God with your thoughts? Do you know that you can sit there, and I've watched my grandmother, and I've watched her as I preach, and I watched my grandmother, and I thought about her thoughts, and she would weep Because I know there was a time of my life that I was lost all the way up until I was 15. And I remember her dealing with me and talking to me and just wanting to make sure. And nobody else did that. They weren't worried. They just thought I was saved and knew about it. But my grandmother was different. She could see below, just below the skin level and see my heart. And my grandmother would pray for me. And she would pray. My grandmother would, she went past praying that I'd get saved. I believe she prayed that I would preach. She went past praying that I would preach. She prayed that I would give my life to God and just do His will with my life and be sold out for Him. Listen, I wanted to tell you, listen, we ought to go past. Listen, we ought to get to a place when we glorify God. I watched my grandmother listening to me preach or listening to message, and I watched the tears come down her face because I think her thoughts would be glorifying to God. I have one of those grandmothers. Listen, you know, I had my great-grandmother. She had Alzheimer's, and she was living with my grandparents, and they would bring her to church all the time. And she would sit in there, and she couldn't read anymore, and most of her stories were from her teen years and not from recent. But when the songs of God would be sung in the church, she never picked a book up. She just went to singing. The preacher would read the scripture, and she'd go to quoting. And it changed my heart to see that all that, listen, you realize that our thoughts glorify the God, even when she couldn't control the thoughts. Listen, those things that we hide in our heart, they don't return void. Those things change who we are. When you know that we can dump into our minds, think about how much this old record player or recording machine that we have as a brain, we sit and give it hours and hours of useless television. When we have something that, listen, will never return void, we'll be in there forever and shape who we are and what we can be for other people. Glorifying God with our thoughts. Look at praising for a minute. He says this in Webster's 1820, commending to magnify through word or song. You see, the two of them do overlap when we talk about word, but listen, praising has more to do with the singing of God. Listen, I hope, you know, and it may be your tradition, but you know, it's good for us to sing. It's good for us. I'm not saying that you have to be good at it. Amen. My dad sings one note all the time. Okay? Praise the Lord. But he loves the Lord. And man, when we get to sing him, you can't hold him back. He just sings. He turns her loose and sings for the Lord because he's trying to praise the Lord with song. He's not trying to sing to me. He's not trying to sing for the person next to him. He's trying to sing for the Lord. Listen, we ought to come to a place, especially this Christmas time, when you get to sing a song like, "O Come All Ye Faithful." What a song to sing in the church. Amen. Joy to the world. Listen, the world ought to know the joy that you and I have. We ought to want the whole world to have it. We ought to realize, listen, I wonder, and this is what breaks my heart. As Christians, at Christmas time, the witnessing, the wondering, the willfully pondering on the things of God, and then even coming to a place where, you know, when we think about what we're going to do when we worship Him, by worshiping God, not just in the church house, but out in public, people need to see us worship Him. They need to see us worship in song. You know, I watched one time as a teen event, as a youth pastor, we made them go to the mall, and they were doing some kind of crazy scavenger hunt thing, and we were doing video with the phone, and they had to get a whole group, they had to take a random bystander and sing a Christmas carol with them. And you know, I'd watch that person who thought everyone was crazy at the beginning and was startled, you know, because they were like, "Hey, you know, come sing with me." You know how it is. If you've ever been with teenagers, it's crazy. And then when they get them all grouped in there, and about halfway through Joy to the World, you watch their whole demeanor change. You watch them realize what they're singing. You know, I believe that as Christians, sometimes we forget what we're singing. We just sing. We just read the words off the page, and we don't even realize that we're singing something to an almighty God who's looking for our praise, who's looking for our love, and looking for what we... I mean, listen, it's supposed to be sung from a heart of belief to an almighty God, not just to prepare our hearts for the message. That's what singing does. But you know, it does it so much better instead of just listening to the melody when we actually think about the words that are on the page. People wrote words in there. Listen, we could hum along. When Brother Cruz, I didn't open the book to one of the songs tonight, and I was singing along to the melody going, "Watermelon cantaloupe, watermelon cantaloupe," amen, because I didn't know the words, amen. Amen. You all know what I'm talking about. But listen, but you understand what I'm talking about. We can live our lives as Christians exactly that way because we don't open the book and read the words. We just let it pass over. We read the words only to say them, not to really mean them. Listen, tonight, as a Christian, just like they worshiped, just like they celebrated that first Christmas, we ought to celebrate it by witnessing to people. We ought to celebrate it by pondering and wondering about the things God has done for us, and we ought to worship Him. Listen, we have an opportunity. There's nothing better in the, you know, I don't know what the world does because I've really never done anything that the world does on New Year's Eve. But what could be better than being with your church, with God's people, when the new year comes in? Where else would you want to be for New Year's if Jesus came back then? Amen. I wouldn't want to meet Jesus when I was anywhere but here. Not on New Year's. Listen, I'll say this. Listen, in closing, this mindset. Listen, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. But as much as I want us as Christians, sometimes we have to be discomforted so that other people can be comforted. Sometimes we have to come to a place where we realize that, hey, I need to get plugged back into this thing so that other people can get plugged in. Listen, you know that people are still dying and going to hell even at Christmas time. To be honest with you, more people will take their own lives during this time of year than any other time of year because they don't feel like they have anybody or anything to look forward to. And we have the greatest thing to look forward to. We have the greatest love in all the world that God would send His Son to die on Calvary and to pay for you and I's sin so that we might be able to be with Him for eternity. Listen, people are waiting to hear that message. And why during this time of the year would we hold it back from them? Why from this time of the year would we get so busy with everything else that we would hold back the greatest love, the greatest truth that this world has ever known and ever will know in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you bow your heads and stand with me tonight? The pianist is going to come. If God spoke to your heart tonight, would you just do business with Him? Whether it's in your seat or at the aisle, God loves you. And I love you tonight. But I want to tell you, listen, as Christians, boy, it's a great time of the year to share the gospel. If you're here tonight and the message was not pointed towards someone coming to Christ, but listen, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we gave enough of the gospel tonight that if you'd like to come and know exactly how to go to heaven, exactly how you can be for sure, 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, boy, tonight would be the night that you could do that. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know. Brother Cruz.